Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
They are ordinary Americans who have led extraordinary lives.
There are going to be some who argue that we don't go nearly far enough.
They play it safe, are quick to assassinate what they do not understand.
Aren't I brilliant?
Are you gay?
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show. The news, what it's talking about here, and every night we take you through the looking glass of media, of talk radio, of what those other guys do. This is a talk show that all those other guys listen to. Truth is our bitch on this show. Margaret Gray joins us this evening. Ted Bell joins us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Margaret Gray from A Little Bird Told Me. I saw her article in A Little Bird Told Me today about Sandra Bullock and Jesse James, and she comes right out and gives the advice. I'm sure that's advice that every American woman would give Sandra Bullock right now. But we have her coming up in a moment, which I don't believe in such a thing as sexual addiction. I don't think it exists. I think it was created by married people to assuage their guilt. Sexual addiction, you'll notice nobody who's single has that problem, right? It's only married people seem to have that problem. Well, it's called cheating on your spouse. And it's not a physical disease. It's a psychological, it's a socioeconomic, it's all jacked up, Jack. And, you know, if photos of me playing basketball with a Nazi flag draped around me like a cape ever emerge, I'm in big trouble. But that's exactly what happened in the early 1970s while I was rooming with four other guys in Orlando, Florida, in my first radio gig. And one night, and I won't get into it, I wrapped a Nazi flag around my shoulders and tied it at the neck and went outside and started shooting hoops with this Nazi flag as a cape. And if photos of that ever emerge, I'll pay top dollar for them. I'll put them on my I'll put them on my website. You kidding? Anyway, and a teacher is found not guilty of aiding and abetting underage kids in a risque dance performance at the school. The number is 877-876-PHIL. Our affiliate spotlight this hour in Cincinnati, Ohio, WQRT 1160 AM. Great to be on the air in Cincinnati and West Palm Beach, WBZT 1230 AM. On the line, Margaret Gray from the, from a lot of things, from Santa Monica, California. We're going to be talking with Margaret tonight, not so much, Margaret, as a newspaper columnist, but as a mother, although you do write your column and have been writing that column and interviewing celebrities for a long time. But your son is an actor.
Yes.
And he goes to a performing arts school, right?
Yeah, so Jason goes to a school called the Talent Pool School. It's in Santa Monica. And he has been attending middle school there. Next year he starts his high school year. So we're very proud of him. And it is a performing arts school. It's where, oh God, I don't want to get into the names, Frank. You know, Frank is here. But we've got some very, very well-known young people that go to the school. And a lot of very well-known parents, obviously, who are dropping their children off in the morning.
All right. Margaret, so this is really about you as a parent, because we saw the story here in the state of Georgia, a Georgia teacher acquitted of criminal charges in connection with a suggestive dance routine that the students performed in class in 2008. Three male teens were caught on camera gyrating as other students shouted and cheered.
You know, I've got a comment to make about that right off the bat.
All right, but I do want to get into your experience.
No, I'm totally fine with that, but I have a comment to make about that right off the bat. Don't we have better things to do than to indict and charge criminally our teachers? This, Phil, I don't even know where to begin. This baby boomer generation is the most spoiled generation of parents I think I've ever seen, and I put myself in that category. I really do.
So you're really sympathetic with that teacher. I don't really have a problem with her either. I think that it probably was something promulgated by the parents.
Oh, I can assure you this was promoted among the parents to get a teacher in trouble. I think that this country isn't good enough for teachers. I think that if I were a teacher coming out of an American college today, I'd look for a job in another country. I really mean that.
All right, well, I don't want to get into the politics of it, you know, but
Well, Phil, I think it's something that needs to be said on behalf of our teachers.
All right, well, yeah, you may very well be right. I don't want to get into that. I know that our I don't think teachers are treated all that well, although there are times, every now and again, when I defend teachers that I have to take it back because something stupid. But, you know, that one of them does something stupid. But I think the rules, like you're saying, that they work under...
They work under the most arcane rules, medieval rules. They change all the time. Every time one of these parents, Phil, gets a you know, as Frank likes to say, gets a pole up there, you know what, and...
Get a pole up there.
All right, hold on.
Well, I can hear Frank. I don't want to hear Frank tonight, okay?
Frank, he doesn't want to hear...
How you doing, young man?
I'm good, Frank. Thank you very much, pal. And I agree with you.
All right, here.
But, Phil, what we did, you want to talk about Jason J. Delmonico's dance. That was a student and parent dance.
I understand that. Now, at that dance, you were approached by other teachers?
No, what happened was this, and it was really petty and very childish. I was a professional dancer on Broadway for 4 years, as you know.
Yeah.
When the dance was on, and we all got out on the dance floor, and this was, as you said, it was a parent-teacher dance, and, excuse me, it was a parent-student dance, and the teachers were there as well. So I got out of the dance floor, and because I was a former professional dancer, I'm going to do some dance moves that are not familiar to a lot of the parents.
Like for instance, what?
Well, there's full layouts, and there's the tiger crawl, and you're hiking your skirt up in some instances. These are all very professional moves. And you're wrapping your leg, and you're doing these things that are second nature. And I think at a performing arts school, and even if it wasn't a performing arts school, I think it is an atmosphere that we should condone and at least tolerate the dancing style of someone who was professional. What I got instead, Phil...
All right, now, yeah, because you got some complaints.
What I got instead were parents complaining to Dan McDougall, who was the principal, that I was dancing inappropriately. And I have to tell you, I thought I was going to faint. I really did. I have never in my life been accused of dancing in a vulgar way, and yet that's exactly what was happening. And I got to tell you something, Phil, I had to laugh because I thought, you know, these poor, I really thought this way. I thought these poor Rubes, they don't even get what they're seeing, you know.
Well, they saw you dancing in a risque or inappropriate way. And you felt that you were dancing in a professional way.
I was dancing in a completely professional way, Phil. There's nothing wrong with the way I was dancing.
Well, you said at one point you hike your skirt up.
During the course of the evening, there was all kinds of music. The band was playing everything from Beyonce to Chicago and to Bryan Adams and then back to Usher and things like that. So the music was all over the boards for the evening because we had the parents and the students. And so I was on my feet. I love to dance. And yes, I was doing, at one point, I was dancing with, and this probably is what got some of the parents a little bit upset, I was dancing with Josh King, who is the son of Baylor King. I don't know if you know them.
I don't know them. Is he a senior?
He's a senior, yeah. And we were dancing, and he spun me out. And I came back and I wrapped my leg around his waist. Now, hold on.
Okay, see, that's exactly what they were talking about.
Hold on there, Phil. Hold on. I don't want you to be a one-man committee of decency here, all right?
Well, you're dancing with a high school senior. You're wrapping your leg around his waist. You know,
this is a... I'm a former Broadway dancer, Phil. I'm not dancing crudely.
But you hiked your skirt up at one point, did you not? You told me all of this stuff.
Yes, I did. And again, I explained to you, I'm a little bit... I don't know what you want me to say.
Okay, if you're dancing and they're saying that it's crude you hike your skirt up... Forgive me, Margaret, I have to ask you this.
Yes.
Were you wearing underwear?
I was wearing pantyhose. I was wearing pantyhose. Any woman will tell you, you're covered up.
They said that you hiked your skirt up, and they were looking through, you know.
Well, I don't know who told you that, but I explained to McDougal and the rest of them on Monday. I was a dancer on Broadway. If you've got some woman who's had three or four margaritas and she's out on the dance floor and she is acting like the town, you know, streetwalker, that's one thing. But when you have a woman who appeared in The Fantastics, which I did, when you have a woman who appeared in Man from La Mancha as a dancer, which I did, on Broadway, I think you can say to those people, she's a former professional dancer. Obviously, you people don't understand what it is you're looking at. This is really what upset me more than anything else. And these parents got together and, like, little clucking hens, you know, I thought it was very amusing. So I said later at this school, I said, this is a performing arts high school. If we can't recognize what great professional dancing is...
All right, but hold on. Can I just interrupt you for a moment?
No, but if we cannot recognize that, Phil, then what are we going to tell our children?
There were students there as young as 13 or 14.
This is not about me. This is about the provincial attitudes of some... It's about the provincial attitudes of a lot of parents, Phil.
All right, so I just want to be clear. You wrapped your leg around this kid.
I wrapped it around a pole. I wrapped it around him. I did a skirt hike. I did a layout. And
what is a layout?
I did the splits. All right. Now all of these moves are professional dance moves.
Yeah, but what people were saying, and I understand. I know that you're pro. They could see under your dress.
Phil, anybody else, I would understand this. I was a professional. It is not vulgar when done by someone who knows what they're doing. And I knew what I was doing. These parents, I don't know, some of these mothers, maybe they're jealous. Maybe they wish they could dance like me.
Well, all I knew is that what you told me is that a lot of these women were upset that you were doing these dance moves and they could see under your dress. But what you're saying is that as a professional, it's not vulgar.
Because I know what I'm doing. And, you know, they're always looking to complain. They wish. Those women wish they were in the kind of shape that I'm in to do some of those moves.
All right, let's go to do a break and then we'll come back, okay?
Absolutely.
We're talking with Margaret Gray, the author of the Little Bird Told Me column about her experience at her son's. It was a parent-student dance where some of her dance moves were interpreted by the other parents and teachers as vulgar or crude, but Margaret's a former dancer on Broadway, so she is explaining here that, you know, when you're a dancer, when you're a professional... obviously, you are not dancing like you're the town, as she said, I don't know, floozy or streetwalker. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. We'll get to your phone calls and more from Margaret Gray. Later on, we get Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills to talk about small business scrambling to try to help this country that, in his words, is being wrecked by Barack Obama. 877-876-PHIL. Phil is our number, and on the line with us is Margaret Gray from Santa Monica. Her son attends the Talent Pool School, which is a performing arts school there in Santa Monica. Now, this was a dance, and I understand it was a parent-student dance, and as such, you're there with the students, and I know it's a performing arts school, Margaret, and I know that you used to be a professional dancer, but when you're doing dance steps where you're literally lifting your skirt over your hips, I guess, you know.
It's really about the culture. I think if you're raised in an environment where everything is what I call a tee-hee, that is, you put your finger to your cheek and go, ooh, you know, how daring that was. Well, it's not really all that shocking when you are a polished professional. When you're a sophisticated individual and you understand what it is you're seeing, if I got up in front of a group of parents, all right, as I did, for instance, when we had Jason's class, and we traveled to Indiana last year. You remember that?
That was the, it was the performing arts thing.
Yes, and we were in Bloomington, Indiana. And I got out on the dance floor for one of our parent student dances, and I was wearing, at that time I was wearing tights. I was wearing, and I know you laughed, but I was wearing leopard skin tights and heels.
Right.
Well, I got out there, and I shook my rear end a little bit, and I pulled the tights down, you know, halfway down my hips. I was trying to show those people there what it means to perform. And what did we get? We got complaints. We got an awful lot of people. I was stunned, and I was very sad, really, to hear a lot of those parents say, and I can't do it, but you know, well, I don't think, you know what I mean?
Well, but look, Margaret, that's Bloomington, Indiana, where you were with the kids, and you're out there doing these dances, you know, where you're shaking your rear end and pulling your tights down.
All right, and so you say what, that Bloomington is more hip than Santa Monica?
No, I'm not. I'm saying Santa Monica got upset with it too, didn't they? Santa Monica didn't like it. Bloomington, Indiana didn't like it.
The point that I'm making is that Santa Monica should have been much more comfortable with it. I was stunned to see Santa Monica react the way they did in Bloomington, or the way they did that night in Athens, Georgia, as well.
Well, you're doing a national tour with these kids, and they're dancing, and you're out there pulling your tights down and pulling them up, you know.
Well, you know, I'm beginning to resent this a little bit.
No, I know that you're a professional, and you don't mean anything sexual, but when you pull, let me ask you something. If you have on a pair of tights and you pull them up so that you're looking at the obvious contours of your body.
That was the Lawrence of Arabia dance.
I know what you mean about the Lawrence of Arabia dance and their on their camels and all that stuff.
It was an interpretive dance, and those people in Bloomington, the people in Indiana, you know, I really resent the position you're taking right now.
No, they simply said that they saw you pulling your tights up so tight that they're looking at the contours of your body. They were trying to be polite.
They don't get it about performance art. They don't get it. And that's why I was almost saddened to the point of tears to see the people in Santa Monica react the same way.
All right, I I'm a friend of yours. I understand. I'm just trying to suss this out, as they say. 877-876, Phil.
Well, the parents treated me as if I was some kind of a cougar. All right, and that's good and bad. That means the fathers think I'm attractive, and the mothers think that I am almost as if I'm carrying a disease, an STD, some sort of a superbug. And it is absolutely belittling.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I'm sorry if you had that feeling. Here is Nathaniel in Fresno, California. Nathaniel, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
I feel that there are a lot of forms of dance that might not be appropriate in a high school function. Take, for example, exotic dancing. The underlying defense here was that, I'm a professional.
No, this is not exotic dancing.
You know?
This is from
stage. Well, I know, but a lot
the
of
Broadway
stuff
stage
looks like that. It is not appropriate because it looks like that and it portrays that.
They're no, it does not portray that. It does not. You don't understand. I was doing dance steps from Man from the Mantra, from the Fantastic.
Does not mean that it's suitable
I was doing
for
dance
all
steps.
Situations.
It means that some people don't understand it.
Well, at what point does the lack of understanding and your understanding as a performer, at what point do you say as a performer, these people don't get it, maybe I ought to tone it down a little bit?
No, that is censorship. That is censorship, and that's not what we
well,
do.
Well, I feel that's common courtesy.
Common courtesy
if,
is opening
a lot of people have an issue with it and are taking exemption from what you're doing because there are children involved, and they don't want their children to be exposed to this. I think as a teacher, as a professional teacher, you should have the kind of courtesy to refrain from doing that and say, you know what,
I have a responsibility
have an issue
to teach.
With it, I'll refrain.
I have a responsibility to teach as well and to say, just because you can see through my pantyhose doesn't mean I'm trying to do a sex dance. I'm doing a dance from Man from La Mancha.
Yeah, but they're looking right through your pantyhose.
And then there is a difference had it been a dance class where you were instructing that form of dance, that would have been a
right.
different story.
Listen, Phil, about a half hour ago you were agreeing with me, now you're agreeing with this man.
The gentleman is making some good points.
I really feel like I'm getting stuck in the back here.
All right, thank you, sir. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. How far do you dance these suggestive dances in front of kids?
Phil Hendry.
Back with Margaret Gray in a moment. Margaret, I don't know if you can hear that music.
Yes. Okay, good. This is good. Listen. All right. So, 2, 3, and 1, 2, 3. And I do a full splay. Now, this is a full splay. And you're right. My dress does come above my... My dress comes a little bit above my hips.
But see, you're not...
Hold on. I twirl around. Twirling around. And then I do a split, a sort of a very modified split. And yes, you're supposed to be able to see. When you do a split, you are supposed to see under the skirt a little bit.
All right, I got it. I got to just get back to our phone calls.
But that's a small demonstration there. And that is what is called jazz dance. And for some of these fathers at the school or in Bloomington where we went in Indiana, To look upon what I'm doing as a lap dance, they wish.
877, well, I don't know. 877-876-PHIL. They were complaining, you know, about what was going on. Let's go to Tina on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Tina.
Hi, yes. All I have to say is dancing like that at all, at any kind of school function, I don't care even if it is a school of dance. It's not appropriate at all. I understand.
I agree with you if it's being done by someone that is not a professional. I was on Broadway.
I professional or not. I'm a stripper. I do strip occasionally, not as much as I used to. I find
darling, I'm not talking with all due respect, I'm not talking about stripping, all right? I'm talking about being on Broadway.
I'm saying I think that is
Broadway. Broadway. Bob
Fosse. It doesn't matter if you can see anything that shouldn't be shown in the school. It's inappropriate. You have to modify the daylight out of your child.
You know, Phil, if I could, I find it very offensive that you've got a stripper telling me what to do.
Tina is calling in as any other caller. Okay.
But she doesn't know. She said, oh, no.
It's a children's school. You're not supposed to dance like that, ever.
Well, why do you dance the way you do?
Even if you're a professional dancer. It doesn't... Dancing like that makes you look unprofessional.
Dear, I'm talking about Broadway dance. You know that I'm not talking about...
That is unprofessional.
I'm not talking about hunching a pole in a strip joint. Excuse me.
You said you put your leg around... You said you put your leg around a teenage boy.
What's the difference?
God, if I was that child's mother, I would smack the daylights out of you.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that you're putting your leg around... Are you not wrapping your leg around things yet? So I don't think you...
She's wrapping her leg around a pole. Were you dancing with a teenage boy?
Yes,
I was showing that...
I'm dancing in a club for 21...
I was showing that boy...
There's a huge difference between the two, darling.
I was showing that boy jazz dance. If you are telling the students, oh, look at this, let's get our rocks off watching Tina, then they're going to think it is inappropriate. But I was showing that jazz dance.
You don't dance like that in the school. Do you not understand? You do not dance like that in the school. In a strip club that is different. There are no children.
Margaret, I was curious.
Phil, let me demonstrate to her what I'm talking about. If you can just hear. Now, you've heard this music before, obviously. Tina, can you hear this?
I don't think Tina can hear the music.
Well,
You know she's going for this. How many $20, how many 20s have gotten shoved down there? You know what I mean?
And
you do the full layout.
And inappropriate right. for a school.
I don't think you're in any place to say that what I did was disgusting.
If,
when
if
to the music of a dead man.
Do
you dance to Michael Jackson?
You're a disgusting woman to
do you
be able to dance like that in your son's school. What is wrong with you? I even
I invite all of your listeners now to call in and defend me. This was a stripper that was telling me that I'm dancing inappropriately.
Well, I don't know that you're going to get a lot of people who are going to back you up.
I bet okay. I know a lot of
Wait,
people
I will
agree
you.
With me, and I think it's highly offensive. And
I
lady,
think a
you
lot
need
of callers are going to
help.
Understand Bob Fosse and not you coming out dancing to You Can Leave Your Hat On. And I would ask you this. Have you ever danced to
There's
Michael
a difference.
Jackson?
You don't dance in a school like that, period. That's it. You just
have
don't dance
ever...
in a school like that.
All right. Have you danced to Michael Jackson's music?
Yes, I have, but that doesn't matter.
Right.
You just don't dance in a school.
So you
like
feel
that.
Good.
Why
so
you,
you
like, really
feel good.
In the head to hear that? You don't dance in a school like that.
You feel good making that
you
kind of tip money to a dead man's
like
music.
With children.
Margaret.
No, I, Phil, maybe what she's saying is right, but this is a woman that makes big tip money to a dead man's music. And I find that offensive.
What are you talking about?
I don't dance to Michael Jackson. I have my own track that I dance to, and no one in hell would I dance to Michael Jackson.
Well, you lied then, because you said you did.
All right, look, Tina, I appreciate your perspective. I really do, and thank you very much. And I don't think you should belittle her simply because she is a stripper.
I think that the people listening to this broadcast right now understand that I just did battle on behalf of thousands of mothers. I told that stripper where to get off. It's one thing for her to give a man a lap dance to the music of a dead man while shoving it right up into it.
All right, I understand what you're saying, okay?
It's another thing entirely, Phil, for me to be giving performance jazz dance lessons.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Scott. Scott, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, I don't know that it's so much about whether it's right or wrong. I think when I am listening to her that it sounds like she had some success and attention while she was dancing on Broadway years ago. And it sounds to me like she's actually missing the attention. And so she's going out and dancing provocatively and kind of receiving that attention. So it fills that void that she had when she was younger and performing and getting applause and things like that. So I'm kind of more, my comment's more addressing why she's deciding to act out like this.
I don't know how to respond to that. I'm a former professional dancer. I gave this performance in front of the students and the parents as a way of demonstrating what jazz dance is. Some of it is risque. It is not obscene. Unless, of course, the people who are watching it are not educated. Now, I don't know where you are.
Gentleman's in West Palm Beach.
Well, that's near Miami. I would expect that man to have a little more education than some of these, forgive me for saying this, some of these hayseeds.
No, wait, Margaret, you just talked to a lady in Boston. You're talking to a man down in Miami. This is not hayseed country, okay? And you're talking to people in Santa Monica. That's Los Angeles. So they understand what a performance is. And what an obscene dance is.
What was obscene about what I did? Tell me, go ahead.
Didn't you say that?
Phil, have
go
we
ahead, Scott.
This is probably none of our business, but what is your age category? I mean, are you in your 30s?
You know,
or 40s?
You've already demeaned my ability as a dancer. Now you want to make fun of my age? Is that it?
No, it's
I don't think so.
But it's not making fun.
I'm
it's just trying to understand. It's trying to understand why you feel your actions are appropriate and
are you telling
and a different
me, so you think I'm Baby Jane? Is that what you think? I'm Baby Jane? You think I'm getting into my makeup and I've got Victor Buono throwing up on my piano? Is that it?
No, Margaret. No.
That's what he thinks. I'm Baby Jane. And let me tell you something, friend. If you saw me, the lights would go out. So,
Margaret, I know that you're an attractive woman. She's in her 50s.
How dare you?
The man was asking, and we have to know. Now, the point here is that you're dancing in this way that you say people don't understand. Now, everybody is misinterpreting, Margaret.
Well, they're misinterpreting because we don't have exposure to the arts.
If you're lifting your dress up above your rear end, and you're not wearing panties on, and you got pantyhose on, and people can see through it, and then you're wrapping your leg around somebody, and then you're doing this crawl, and God knows what.
Thank you for butchering beyond recognition by act with your lifting your dress above your hips with no...
Well, I think it's the venue of where you were doing this was inappropriate. If you wanted to expose people to the arts, then you should do it on a stage in a professional environment, not at a high school or middle school.
And, Scott, I would tell you, well, I think what you're saying is very good. If you saw me, it would be a $20 minimum.
No, it's really...
Whatever that means, you know.
Meaning, what I meant to say was he'd look at me and say, well, she must be $20. Never mind.
You don't want to be taken as an obscene dancer. And yeah, I'm sorry, Scott. Go ahead. I was just going to say she doesn't want to be taken as an obscene dancer, but she's already pricing herself as a lap dance.
Well, that's what these guys understand.
Listen, brother. I appreciate your call very much. Let's move on. 877-876-PHIL.
I'm glad you got rid of him because all I could hear from that man was... And I am absolutely stunned beyond all recognition that you kept him on as long as you did.
He was making excellent points, and he was trying to be very sensitive to you. And
he's saying, how old are you? Maybe this is an age category thing. As if I'm Baby Jane, and I roll my eyes upstairs as I put the lid over the rat.
Margaret, you know...
No, not Margaret, you know. No, not Margaret, you know. No. I've been insulted. Frank and I do a lot for the school.
What's that?
Jason J. Delmonico School.
877-876-PHIL. Let's take another phone call here. We have Jeff in Illinois. Jeff in Illinois. Go ahead, Jeff. You're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Margaret Gray.
How you doing? I've heard over and over and over Margaret's statement that she is a professional, which is understood by everybody in your audience.
Well, I don't think people get the connection.
Let me finish first, and then I'll let you have your chance.
Go right ahead.
Thank you.
Go right ahead.
I'm a public school teacher, and I've taught all different ages. And what they see, they imitate. What they know, you know, what they know is appropriate, they know is inappropriate or appropriate. I don't understand how you're incapable of understanding you're being inappropriate. In a public school, be it if it's professional dance, be it that you've been on Broadway, I understand that up and down. I mean, you've made that abundantly clear. I don't understand.
I'll tell you this much. You know the statue of David. You know the statue of David. You know that it's a nude statue. You know that you take children to see nude statues. You've taken children to the museum to see a nude David. You've taken children to the museum to see, in some instances, a nude Madonna as she is nursing the baby Jesus. To you, that is not obscene, and to me, it's not obscene.
Would tell you that
but when I go out on the dance floor and I show my ass...
You're a professional dancer or not, Margaret. I don't understand how you're incapable of understanding the inappropriateness of your actions. Wake up. Common sense will tell you. Use the common sense that God gave you. Please wake up and realize it.
I am. A new David and a new Madonna.
And your ass.
Yes.
Margaret, you just said that we take kids to museums to see...
To see the nude David.
Yeah, the nude David and a Madonna and the Virgin Mary and your ass.
Well, so what?
So I'm in the same thinking...
Margaret, keep speaking. I love this program.
Oh, you do? You love the show? Okay, here it is. When you take a child to see the nude David, which is a classic statue, I'm sure you would agree...
Well, let me make another...
Never mind.
The guy's right. The new David, a classic statue, and your ass.
I happen to think it's also a work of art.
Not from Michelangelo.
You know, both of you guys, this is two men ganging up on a woman.
Huh.
Two men ganging up on a woman. I really... And you know something, Phil?
No, Margaret, nobody is... I'm not putting down your performance experience, nor is this gentleman, but what we're saying is when you display it in front of children...
It was a dance, a parent-student dance. And when I lift my dress up and you're looking at what I got...
Oh, then I'm staring at the Michelangelo's...
The what?
I'm looking at a statue?
No.
All right, look, sir, thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. Margaret Gray on the line here. Appreciate the gentleman from Joliet, Illinois. He's a teacher talking with us about Margaret Gray and this dance, this modern jazz dance, whatever the hell she calls it that she was doing in front of the students at the school. She may call it a Broadway dance or an interpretive dance or a classically artistic dance, but when you're looking at her rear end with, you know, just the pantyhose, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, P-H-I-L. Back with Margaret Gray and your phone calls in a moment on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
This is so unfair.
No, it's not unfair.
Phil Henry.
Number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're going to get back to some phone calls, Margaret, but one of the major complaints of that night at this parent-student dance was that you and a girl by the name of Christy Rodriguez, a mother by the name of Christy Rodriguez, did a dance step from Chicago.
Oh, I know. You know, I don't want to talk about this, Phil.
Well, I mean, we have to talk about it. Okay, Ms. Rodriguez herself, the mother of two boys in the school, was shocked by it.
You know something, Phil? Christy Rodriguez had a double mastectomy, and I was doing something to try to make her feel like a woman. Now, this is a move from Chicago. I put my face between her, and I'll tell you something else. She has newly reconstructed breasts. They're beautiful. So I put my face between them, and I went brrr, like that, like a man would.
And that's from Chicago.
Yes, it's from Chicago.
And what made you think that woman needed to feel like a woman?
She'd had a double mastectomy.
She'd had reconstructive surgery. She was healthy. She's out dancing.
What? You're making me the bad guy here. That's the thing that really makes me crack. That makes me laugh until I want to. I have to go to the toilet.
877. You don't have to whisper, ma'am. 877.
Well, I don't. You know what? I'm not as crude as some of you people have been.
877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call. Elaine in Los Angeles. Elaine, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, ma'am.
Yeah, I just wanted to say how she said earlier that she felt like it was guys ganging up on her. I'm a female myself, and I am really young. I consider myself, you know, pretty liberal, understanding of, you know, everything like that. And I wanted to comment on how you were comparing what you did to going to see the Statue of David, because that is artistic nudity. There's no, like, sexual connotation to it whatsoever. And obviously what you did in
there's
front
no
of children...
There's no sexual connotation to what I do. There's no sexual connotation to what I did either. That's what you're missing, you know.
What you're doing is basically... The dancing that you're doing is basically like burlesque dancing. If you were doing stuff like from Chicago and stuff, how is that not sexually?
That is jazz dance. That is jazz dance. That is modern interpretive dance.
And it's
putting
supposed
your face.
To be sexy.
It is not sexy in the sense. What's sexy about putting your face between two reconstructed breasts? You know.
You know that's uncalled for.
What
that is, you know, it's one thing to, first of all, you know, say the woman's had this kind of surgery, then to do this move that you wanted to make her feel better, and hear on national radio, but, you know, it was two reconstructed breasts. That's so hypocritical.
Bill, I work with children, and I think it's so unfair. I tried to do my best. You know something? No one has mentioned Buzz Aldrin on Dancing with the Stars, have they? Does he look like he's got to pull up his, you know what? Yes. Has anybody called him out on that? No.
He's not acting sexual.
He's not acting sexual, so he doesn't look like he's battling a you know what.
What do you mean a
and
you know what?
That's on TV. That's not at a school where there are children, where parents
oh my
send their
God,
children
you don't...
to that school not expecting them to be exposed to anything like that.
Are you telling me you don't think children are watching Buzz Aldrin? A man who we should honor, who had landed on the moon, and he is dancing as if he is
as if he's a little stiff-legged from you-know-what. I am...
You know, I don't see any of that. I don't see any of that.
You don't see any of that in that, but when you look at me dancing, you think I'm a slut.
No one has used the word slut. What people have said is overly sexual dancing. Overly sexual dancing.
Or
what is this?
And here he is after he...
overly sexual.
After Buzz Aldrin gets out and dances as if he's... You know, as if he has to strap it to his leg. Now he...
All right, can we clean it up a little bit?
Comes out with a phone app.
All right, Elaine, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Warren on the Phil... Oh, you know what? We're plumb out of time, Warren. I'll give you 30 seconds, sir. Go ahead. 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yes. First off, we accept the responsibility. My question is professional. There should be some type of professional accountability and responsibility in your performance. Would you do the same performance, say, in a church dance, for instance? When you're doing your Broadway show...
Oh, I'd have
show,
no problem. I'd have no problem with church dance.
Let me... I only got 20 seconds, 5 seconds now. Whenever you was doing Broadway, when you were doing Broadway, did you have underclothes underneath your garments? Or...
Of course not.
Phil Hendry. Shores of El Pacifico. Bill Hendry.
We need to fix the problem so people don't have to worry about disengaging.
Well, I think if everybody here, excuse all the members of the press who are here.
It sounded actually like you'd been punched.
I'm not big on the word police, but I will say this.
Donald Trump, I want to talk to this guy.
He's stupid.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. The Alice in Wonderland through the looking glass of talk radio. The groundbreaking, the world famous, the never to be repeated and never duplicated Phil Hendry Show. Why are we on late at night? Because this show scares the crap out of people that are awake during the day. Best I can figure out anyway. Anyway, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, welcome back. Our number 877-8, that's a pretty good idea to why we're on at night. 877, and we're also on at night because I sleep in the daytime, as you do. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Joining us this hour is a very, very rare treat for us, Mavis Leonard. Ms. Leonard is a retired substitute teacher. She's a retired teacher. She does substitute work. We're going to talk about education. We're going to talk about things as simple as the following. Cell phones in school. How have they affected a teacher's ability to communicate with a student? And, of course, you know, we live in a day and age now, as we've lived, every day and age seems to be the same. Boy, you know, it was better back then. It was sure better 23. Well, was it really? You know, and we're going to talk about that with Mavis. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Don't forget the website, philhendryshow.com, where you can go and listen to any and all archived radio shows, as well as our video feed, which is kept. There's an archive of our video feed kept for 5 days, so join us there. Mavis, how are you, dear? Thank you for being with us.
Well, I'm very good. I'm very happy to be on your program tonight. Thank you.
It is a great, great honor to have you with us, and I know that you taught for some 40 years privately and publicly. Where were you last? Where did you teach last?
I taught at Joyful Union. I was the elementary school substitute teacher. I also taught high school for a number of years in Garden Grove, California. And I also taught early in my life, in my teaching career, in Birmingham, Alabama, as well as in Columbia, South Carolina, when I was in my 20s.
When did you come to California?
I came to California in the late 1960s.
And you saw the story that they're considering and reconsidering and going back and forth about the idea of kids having cell phones in school. Now, I know that this was nothing that you had to contend with as a teacher when you were teaching, but certainly you know the stories, and I know that there are other members of your family that are also teachers, Ms. Leonard. What about where do you stand on the idea of children having these cell phones in school, on the school grounds, on these phones, having this communication sort of with the outside world, where they're when they're involved in an academic pursuit?
Well, I will tell you, my feeling is that the cell phone, telephone violates what I have always called the privacy of the classroom. In the classroom, teacher and student are involved in a communication of information. It is an education process that necessitates understanding between the teacher and the student. That is, when you are giving points, a student is taking notes on a topic. When you are handing out a homework assignment that the student must understand and certainly must complete by the next day, anything that intrudes or anything that compromises that privacy is a bad thing.
Why do you call it the privacy of the classroom?
Because there are ways that we have of communicating with our students, ways that we have of getting the best out of our students, ways that we have of making sure our students understand us and that they're doing the work. When they have a cell phone and they can dial that cell phone and call up their mother or their father or another adult and get their opinion on what we're doing, then we have to compete with that. The children, I think, Phil, I agree with you what your last guest said. Children being treated very bad, very badly indeed. They need direction. They need discipline. They need a strong hand in the classroom. And children bringing a cell phone in the classroom intrudes on the sacrosanct privacy of that classroom.
Now, you mentioned something there where the child is calling a parent in the classroom, maybe just after the classroom, getting their opinion, and that violates. What are they talking to their parents about? Oh, the teacher punished me. The teacher's giving out homework.
It's a combination of a lot of those things, you know. Sometimes you can get a child's attention if they're not paying attention. You use different technique to get their attention. Then they get on their cell phone and call up a mother or a father, say the teacher did this or that, and then you have to deal with a parent, in many cases, not very educated people themselves, low IQ. Some of them have an alcohol or drinking problem or drug problem, and you have to explain to them, or they are people that, professional people, think they know everything. You got to explain to them why you take a hold of a child's skin like that or use a rubber band.
What do you mean taking a hold of a child's skin? So just so I know,
this is a form of discipline.
What? But but just so I know, the children, after you have been talking to the children, they get on the cell phone and call their parents and complain.
Yeah.
All right. What are they? What? Tell me what you mean about getting a hold of a child's skin.
Oh, to get a attention of a child, it might be slow. In my time, we didn't really have special education or special classes or special buses or bicycle helmets that we would hand out to the children that if they got a head injury, that would be the end of their ability to learn. And so, you know, so we put a bicycle helmet on a child now just so they'll be able to know what 2 + 2 is. We didn't have any of that. What you did was you get a hold of a child's skin. You pinch the child and twist the skin a little bit, or take a rubber band and snap it on top of their head, or pull the child's ears straight out. And the other children would laugh, and look at that big-eared kid, but what you're doing, you're getting their attention. Nowadays, if I take a child's ears and I pull them straight out, they're going to be on their cell phone calling their mother and father and saying, I need to get an attorney, I want to sue the school because Ms. Leonard, because I'm slow, and Ms. Leonard grabbed my ears out from under my bicycle helmet. All of this thing.
Well, you know, there are parents would say to you, Ms. Leonard, that you don't sound very sensitive, you know, to the needs of children. And plus, can I just ask you something here?
But this is a modern-day classroom. I don't think, look at the problem we have in classroom. Look at them right now. They can't get anything done because the children on a cell phone calling for a lawyer to come and sue because I'm trying to get the attention of some child that is so slow. He doesn't know that a hot dog goes into a bun. You know, the children at lunchtime will take a piece of bologna and then 5 minutes later remember that they need bread with it. You know, that's what we're talking about.
But if you take a rubber band and snap it on top of a kid's head, isn't that abusive or...
No. That word is so overused.
Well, but, I mean, seriously, isn't that taking a physical action against a child that's going to be against the law? You said you pinch a child and twist. You pinch...
No, you get a hold of a child, you pinch and then twist. And you do that on a child very quickly. You can even do it so that he doesn't know. But, you see, I can't do any of that if they're on their cell phone calling their mother or father and lying that I did something worse.
And what is this pulling the child's ears?
No, what you do is you get their attention by pulling their ears straight out. I wanted to say this, Mr. Henry, if I could. This is an old-fashioned way. Nowadays, a child is going to call their mother and father and complain about having their skin twisted or a rubber band snapped the top of their head. And that's because they have a cell phone. If we can eliminate the cell phone, these teachers would be able to properly and effectively discipline children who act out. So many of our tools for disciplining kids just can't be done with phones all around.
But if the cell phones are there and the children are alerting their parents to what they think may be abusive behavior.
That's what the child thinks is abusive behavior. And then, and the child is not all that intelligent to begin with. I love our children, but God forgive me, they are so troublingly slow, some of them, you know. And I love our parents, but may God have mercy on me. They are, without question, some of them are the worst kind of dumb, you know, almost burning hell dumb. And when I have these parents talking to me about my job, telling me I can't do this and I can't do that.
But if you take a rubber band and snap it on a child, or you take all of these things you said, isn't that abuse?
It is, in my opinion. I don't know, but I will tell you, the parent, a slap or a push against a kid who's acting out is no big deal. If one of those kids records it on their phone and puts it on the internet, it's going to look a lot worse than it is. And all that's going to do is tempt me to go all the way. That's what I said to them, you know.
If they put it on the internet.
If they put it on the internet. If I know a child is going to take my rubber band, snap it on his head, and put that on the internet, then I'm going all the way. I'm going whole hog. You see, Katie bar the door.
Well, what does that mean? I mean, yeah.
Well, you have no choice then. I'll take a bungee cord. And I'll wrap that kid, I'll stretch it out and snap that metal hook against his head. And he, you know, he'll know, that's a wake-up call. See?
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number. We're speaking with Mavis Leonard. She's a retired elementary school teacher and middle school teacher. We're talking about the use of cell phones. Students with cell phones. And she said the cell phone violates the privacy of the classroom when teachers could discipline and speak to students. Today, the cell phone is used to contact parents. The cell phone is used to record things that are going on in the classroom. The cell phone is used to videotape or video things that are going on in the classroom, and teachers no longer have the ability to discipline. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, as we're talking with Mavis Leonard, a retired middle school and elementary school teacher. Here in Southern California, and we thank her for joining us. She's a great lady. She's on our program frequently. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And another thing that they'll do with...
All right, dear, we're not on the air right now.
Oh, all right.
Phil Hendry.
There's no need for an 8-year-old child to learn how to fire a machine gun unless he's living in Somalia, in which case, you know, line him up, man. The shooting range open in Massachusetts.
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
right, we're on with Mavis Leonard. I want to be, Mavis Leonard is a retired school teacher. I want to, and we are talking to her about cell phones in school. Should children have cell phones? Are they distracting? Do they disrupt the academic atmosphere? And Ms. Leonard, you feel at the elementary, middle school, and high school level it does.
Absolutely, I do. And
all right, now, before you mention, I wanted to... You said that one of the kids video or used his cell phone to video you snapping a rubber band?
No, yes, he did. He used his video on a camera, on a cell phone, as I snapped a rubber band on the arm of a child that was very, very deeply autistic. And by that, if you've ever heard an autistic child, they'll go, I can't make the noise, but they'll make a noise.
I understand, yeah.
So I went over and I said that Garth, his name was Garth, and I said, Garth, you know, it's getting old. And
what is he said it's getting old?
Well, I told him that, you know, you need to let teacher. So I took the rubber band, snapped.
Now, you snapped the rubber band on this autistic child?
No. I made like I was going to. I snapped the rubber band at him, and he recoiled, you know. But then one of the boys recorded this with his camera and or with his cell phone.
He videoed it.
That's correct, yes. And I looked at that boy, and I said, all right, if that's how you want to play this, we can play it any way you want to play it. And I went and got the bungee cord that has that heavy metal hook. And I said, you want to see Garth get this? Do you really want Garth to get the hook? And he said, no. I said, all right. And we know which side, of the bread, the smart balance is what I said in it.
Well, it's not abusive behavior, you're saying. A slap or a push against the kid who's acting out is not abusive. I understand what you're saying, but the cell phone is what we're talking about, and the kids are using this to record abusive behavior, aren't they?
No, not in my case, no.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to some phone calls. We have Carol in Raleigh, North Carolina. Carol, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Mavis Leonard. Go ahead.
Yes, Ms. Leonard, where did you say you taught school?
I taught middle school and elementary at Joyful Union Congregation Middle and Elementary. It's a Christian school. I taught earlier at Garden Grove High School in Southern California.
I taught in the
Birmingham, Alabama public school system and in Columbia, South Carolina public school system.
That was in the 60s, correct?
That was in the 60s, that's correct.
That was in the 60s. Well,
yes,
I taught school in North Carolina for 5 years, and I had I taught MR or DDs, and plus I taught at a special school for handicapped kids. I taught autistic kids and birth defect children.
Children would have birth defect?
Yes. I never had the problem that you said that you had. Because when I was in school, if a teacher touched a kid in a way that abusive, they were out the door.
Well,
the
I never touched
didn't have it in my,
well,
I'm
I
somebody
touched,
even,
I just,
even said anything abusive.
I just said, see this rubber band, guards, I'm going to snap it on you. You don't, you know.
Well, see, that couldn't even be said when I was in high school and elementary school.
Oh, no.
In the state that I'm in.
Yeah. The boy that you talked to, Mavis, was Garth. He was autistic, right?
That is correct, yeah.
Now, what made you go back and talk to him?
Well, I'm sure Carol know autistic children will sometimes blurt out a noise. They'll go, I can't. You know what
it's
I mean.
Different levels of autistic.
It was starting to get on my nerves, that's all. So I went back, and we straightened it out.
You didn't have an assistant in your classroom?
A cistern?
Yeah.
Like an outhouse?
An outhouse?
Did you have an assistant teacher in the classroom?
No, I was the substitute. So when I taught I was substitute for my daughter who teach, and she was gone. It was they had parent-teacher conference. So I substitute, and that's when this Garth and the other little boy said, I'm going to record this on my phone for my parents. I said, you know, we're going to have a big problem if you do that. You and
what
I are going to have.
What was his level?
He was that child was a fully developed child, not remedial, but they had that autistic kid they squeezed in. So I said to this kid, his name was Rudy or something, I said, now, I'll go back, get a bungee cord, and Garth's going to get a hook upside of his head.
Garth is going to get a hook. So what you do is you threaten these children.
But the point I'm making is, yeah, but why do they have a cell phone? You know as well as I do, you don't need a cell phone in there to rat us out to parents that don't have enough sense to get in out of the rain anyway. That's my only point.
Well,
anything wrong, why would you worry about them having a cellular phone?
Because they're going to start thinking they're God's gift to parenting. You know how it is. They'll tell you how you ought to do it, what time you ought to get out of bed in the morning, what you ought to teach. And you know how it is. I don't want to be bothered. I never let that drag me down, and I never will. That's why
I've never been a sub, but I know being a teacher, you have your program, and you go by, and you do what's right. You don't have to worry about pictures being made or anything.
Well, you know these parents. They think that, you know, they think that they crap gold.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Carol, for your call. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. Mavis, so you are threatening this boy with a rubber. He's an autistic boy, and you're threatening to snap him with a rubber band.
Yeah, but that other kid was the problem. He was going to call his parents. And I said, you do that, you and it's on. You know?
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Mavis Leonard, a school teacher about cell phones in the school. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
You leave an impression that I'm so...
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Mavis Leonard. Ms. Leonard, a retired school teacher, although she does do substitute work, even today. And we're talking about the use of cell phones by students in schools. Now, a great many parents agree with you, I think, Ms. Leonard, that the cell phone is intrusive. I think a lot of parents would rather those cell phones not be there.
That is my point, Mr. Henry. Parents are on my side.
But the things that you're telling me is that the use of these cell phones by these students are to record things that you've done that I want to ask you a little bit more about, because you've said that you, pinch students or you snap rubber bands on their heads, or they're one of the autistic kids. You said you were going to take a bungee cord and wrap them on the head with the hook, and that little boy was recording that.
I don't know where you went to school. I will tell you this, Mr. Henry. Every parent understands me when I say I've got to enforce discipline. When you have children in your class and many other special education children is put in the class, I had a child who had one eye that wandered and twitched. You know, he had a twitch eye. I don't know what you call it, but...
It wandered?
It was a wandering eye that had a twitch on it. And I had brought a shopping bag from home. And I put it on his head because it distracted the children and it distracted me. And
how does it make that child feel?
Well, it was just for one day. They had brought him into the class for one day. They thought he could be in a... was not special education. I said, well, his eyeball is not, it's not standing still. You know, it's every place. It's an eye. So I put a paper bag on that. Now, the parents, they understand they don't want no cell phone in there.
But that's what I'm saying. Do you think the parents don't want cell phones, but do they want a boy with a wandering eye with a paper bag over his head?
Mr. Henry, you know, when I was in St. Augustine, Florida in 1964, I was with Martin Luther King. And I remember that day when they brought the German Shepherds in.
Yes, ma'am.
And these are the local Florida police brought in German Shepherds. And I'll never forget that day because I said to myself, you know what? I like the idea of those dogs. I don't want a dog turned on me, but I love it. I love the idea. You know, I like this kind of party. I could use something like that. And I kept that in mind. When I went to Joyful Union, I got a German Shepherd from a cousin of mine who was breeding them. Full bred. I had the papers on it. He come into my class. I chained it to my desk. And let me tell you what, I took the paper bag off that kid with the eyeball. And it was all good. You see, discipline is important. Now, a kid going to have a cell phone and call up and say, Ms. Leonard brought a German Shepherd in? And maybe the parents are upset, but I'll tell you, if the kid don't have the cell phone and I bring a German Shepherd in, the kid gets the bag off his head. I don't have to use a bungee cord on guards, and it's all good.
Well, are you telling me you saw German Shepherds, the police, in St. Augustine in 1964, and you said to yourself, one of these days I want to use one of those?
It was a very threatening day. But I said, I love a party if I had one of them, you know.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's move to a phone call here. Shannon in Cold Springs, Kentucky. Shannon, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Mavis Leonard. Go ahead.
I'm a little confused. Is this a joke?
Mm-hmm.
Is this a
yeah,
real joke?
It almost sounds like it, Miss Leonard. Bringing German Shepherds into a classroom, putting a bag over a kid's head.
I have been I tell you what, do you think St. Augustine, Florida was a joke? When the police beat demonstrators that day who were marching for civil rights, you think that's a joke?
And the fact that you saw German Shepherds being used on people that day and you would use it later as a teacher.
I said I saw that. And use an objective view on that. Yes, I did.
Are you a teacher right now?
I'm a retired teacher, and I do substitute work for my daughter.
You're a current teacher? You're a substitute right now.
That's what I... You see, I've been saying that for 40 minutes. I don't know where you've been, but that's exactly what I'm talking about.
I just turned on the radio. I've been at work. I just turned on the radio, and you're talking about...
Yet.
Threatening autistic children? You know, I would do everything I could if I was in that school district to get you fired.
You
have no right to be around children. You shouldn't even be raising children.
You can't threaten an autistic child.
What do you mean you can't threaten an autistic child?
They don't know. They're in a world...
You shouldn't be threatening any child.
No, but you can't do it because they're living in like a cotton candy world. It's all pink and they don't... Everything, when they look around, it's like a Beatles song. That's all I'm saying.
You should not threaten any child. You
what?
Should not even be allowed to have children.
Is that what are your credentials? Where do you work? How can you speak on my qualifications?
I have 5 children, plus 2 foster
what do you
children.
Do for, what, well, that means you're getting paid to have those children, aren't you?
No.
Yeah, you are.
No,
you're
I have a husband
you're getting
who
paid.
Works.
Check out the bleeding heart if you're getting paid to have that child.
What does
now,
that mean? I'm getting paid
mean?
To have children.
Because
I'm not on welfare. I'm not on Social Security. I'm not on
anything.
If you
got a foster
anything.
Child, you get paid to have a foster child. That's why.
No, I don't.
I don't know. Do you
they
all? Does everybody? Everybody who gets has a foster child, do they get paid?
That's
no, you don't get paid.
Child. Not,
you get
a nephew.
If
you don't
if
know
the
what
state
you're
does
about,
what it's
what do you
supposed
work at the
to.
Water department?
If the state
department.
Does what it's supposed to do, then you get a stipend, which is a pittance, but I haven't even gotten that in the 6 months that I've had my niece and nephew.
I bet
really
you've been
don't
writing
care
letters,
about
though.
That.
I bet you've been
you
writing
mean?
Letters to get that. I bet you've been writing plenty of letters to get that so-called stipend, though, haven't you? Yeah.
No, is that what you would do?
Uh-huh. Now, I ain't got no foster
to me like
children.
You are one of those
you're
people
the one.
Who just uses everything.
You get the tax benefits for those kids. Don't tell me that you don't.
I don't.
See, this is what I do in my classroom. I uncover a bleeding heart like this.
Look,
what
this lady was simply
to do
asking you.
Find some other
sure.
job.
This lady was
maybe
asking
go work
you.
At McDonald's.
I still don't know what you do for a living. What do you do?
I'm a mother.
So you don't work at all? You sit on
work.
Your ass all day long and
yeah,
collect
that's right.
the stipend, get the stipend check from the government.
Nope.
A mom
My
ain't no
works.
Job. Yeah, then you don't need no stipend check for no foster kid. And I'll tell you something else. Autistic children cannot be threatened because they live in a cotton candy world. It's all blue and pink.
I don't even know what that means.
It's all just,
so why are you threatening children?
I know
children?
You don't know what it means.
Well,
so,
I don't know what you are talking about.
I don't want to talk to her no more. This white woman doesn't. She never gets out.
All right, let's not talk that way. All right, thank you very much, Janine, for your call. I appreciate it. 877, I don't think we need to do that, all right?
Is that white lady is talking?
But we don't need to talk about what race she is.
Well, she's sitting on her ass.
She's got children. She is a mom. She has a husband that works, and she believes that you were threatening that autistic child. Now you're telling me and my listeners you can't threaten an autistic child?
No, you cannot threaten an autistic child because, think about it, the whole world is like a Avatar, the movie, you know, everything. I don't know, but...
Autistic children can see what everybody else sees, can't they? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the sensation is. You should know. You're the teacher.
Yeah, and it's like looking at Avatar. And that lady who sits at home eating ice cream while her man works and brings home the bacon. And when I say bacon, I do mean bacon.
Wow. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go on to Lisa in Cincinnati. Lisa, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Mavis Leonard. We talk about cell phones at school. Go ahead, please.
All right, I'm going to try to just stick to the issue of the cell phone because I'd rather not have the teacher putting me down. But I think cell phones are good for teenagers and kids in school as long as they don't use them to disrupt the classroom. But there's a lot of bad stuff going on in the school system to children and to teenagers, and I think it's a good protection for them. You know, if they're having a problem, I don't see any reason why they should not be able to call their parents or people that are protecting them and to let them know what's going on. But if there are abuses in the school system, not all teachers are competent. Just because someone is a professional doesn't mean that they are suited to be a professional. And I personally think that cell phones are, as I said, a good protection for students to get in touch with people when they need to protect them.
Mavis?
Well, I think this lady who sounds like she's over 6 feet tall, I'm sorry, but obviously she can defend herself.
What did you say?
I said this woman sounds as if she's over 6 feet tall. So she can defend herself. But what do I do, a teacher who is in a classroom?
Well, you don't know how tall this. How tall are you, Lisa, if you don't mind us saying?
About 5'5".
That is 5 feet. You sound like you're about 6'1". And what do you laugh about? You're laughing, ain't you?
No, because I'm not 6'1".
You sound like this is what you talk. I think that a lady. Do you hear yourself?
Never mind about that, okay? What was your comment about what this lady was saying?
Well, she's obviously speaking about me being incompetent, and I have to ask, were you born a woman?
Don't answer that, Lisa, all right?
She laughs, and she says she's afraid for the children, but she laughs. But you go home at night and look at a documentary on Adolf Hitler and laugh, don't you? Don't you? Yeah, I bet you do. Now,
I'm laughing. Why
do you laugh when I'm saying the children... I'm trying to keep the classroom under wraps. I have a child who needs to have a bag on his head. Another child's got to get wrapped with a bungee cord.
Yes, school is not a prison. You have to treat them with dignity, whether they have autism or I think the expression you wanted earlier was a lazy eye. It doesn't matter. These children are human beings.
This is more than a lazy eye. This was a twitch eye.
It doesn't matter. These children are human beings. You have to nurture them and care about them and teach them. That's your responsibility as a teacher. It's not your responsibility to turn the classroom into a prison.
You heard what most parents are saying. They don't want to have no phones in the classroom either. They want me to be able to say, look, Garth, I know you're autistic, but blurting out noises and you know, looking at the ceiling and scratching your armpit repetitively is bugging me and everyone here. All right. I can't say that.
It's your responsibility. It's your responsibility.
To protect the children, yeah.
Yes, it's your responsibility to teach them and to nurture them and to be protective of them.
Right, and I am. But I'm telling you the truth. I am. But you're telling me you're 5'5".
She is 5'5". Thank you very much, Lisa. 877-876-PHIL. One more call. Julie in Boston. Go ahead, Julie. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Mavis Leonard. We talk about this cell phone thing in schools. I don't think we've mentioned cell phones, though.
I'm trying to stay on the subject.
Go ahead, Julie.
I don't understand how she can, like, do these things to these children. I mean, they can't help how they are. They need people to be there for them and be understanding and show them, you know, the right ways to do stuff, not put plastic bags over their head. I mean, lady, do you get a kick out of this or something? You are disgusting.
No,
oh, wow.
How
rude can you be
love.
To burp over the radio?
Tough love is what you've got to show these children. I've been teaching for over 50 years, and these children need to know they've got a strong hand guiding them. And if you want to give them
a strong hand guiding them,
modern day,
them love and attention
all
and the
this,
stuff they need,
oh,
not to abuse
you're
them.
Gonna turn that, you know what you're going to turn that child into? A sissy. You're going to turn that child into a sissy. And that child will come squealing for its mama even when it's 40
children
years old. I won't
love
do that.
And affection and understanding. To be able,
sometimes,
it takes a lot to raise a child the proper way.
Right.
So what
and
you're doing is
it takes,
terrorizing
it takes,
them, and you are
well,
going to be scarring these poor little children for life. And the cycle is going to end because they'll end up doing the same thing as was done to them. You're teaching them violence. You're teaching
you
them how to be horrible. And you're not teaching them to be loving, caring people, you're teaching them how to be mean and ruthless and heartless.
Well, I don't want
to
raise another generation. I don't want
to
raise another generation of children.
All right, hold on. You guys are talking over each other. I can't hear.
I'm not raising another generation of American children that's going to wet their pants when they see Al Qaeda. We need some people.
We don't have a generation of kids wetting their pants when they see Al Qaeda.
Well, that's what this lady wants. She wants to raise a generation of sissies, panty waist, limp
wrist. You can teach a child to be strong and stand their ground, but also to be loving and caring. You can teach children how not to take abuse and stuff and still be caring towards other people. What you're doing is teaching children how to be horrible to other people by being mean to them and abusing them. It's not going to break a horrible cycle. That is.
Have you got kids? Have you?
Yes, I do.
Are any of them out of jail? How many of them are not in jail?
They're too little. To be in jail.
In about 10 years, I want to find out. Give me the name of them. I'll look them up on the Boston police blotter.
Anyway,
no, because
Julie,
I teach my children proper ways.
Sure you do.
I teach them
right,
how to stay out of trouble.
If you don't discipline
lady,
a kid right, he's going
to
end
you
up going
to...
No. He's
going to
grow up taking it...
If
you don't raise that child the right
children.
Way, that baby's going to grow up to be sissified and going down the street with all that, you know, that mess where they say, oh, I need some moisturizer. You know what I mean, right?
All right,
lady,
get out of here. Thank
you.
Yeah. She's talking about. Thank you, Julie, for your call. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. More of your calls.
Oh, my skin.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
God, I'm tired.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. We are on with Mavis Leonard, who is a retired but sometime teacher in Southern California. Here is Esther. Esther, you're on the Phil Hendry. Wait a second. I don't have Esther. Let's go over to Esther. You're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Mavis Leonard. Esther, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm a retired teacher, and I'm 77 years old. And taught first and second grade in public schools and the best schools in Massachusetts. and I've never called a talk show in my life, but I'm quite irate over Mavis Leonard's comments. I hope her daughter doesn't exercise the same philosophy as she does, because they shouldn't
be
allowed.
Are you Jewish? Are you Jewish?
Yes, I am.
Okay, that's it. That explains a few things.
Well,
what does that explain, Mavis?
What does that mean? What does it explain?
Well,
that
you're a little disagreeable.
That I'm bright and rich? What would you say?
You're a little bit disagreeable, that's all.
Disagreeable?
Well, what does that mean?
No, I'm just making the comments. I don't know if cell phones should be allowed in schools, but I would say very strongly that I now believe that they should, so that they could record what you're doing and not be allowed to have you in the schools in any capacity for the first 5 minutes. If your daughter exercises your philosophy, she also should be removed from the school system. It is, I have never called a talk show in my life, but I would say
when I brought the German Shepherd in and folded it to the...
the woman laughed at you, and she has every right to. It's appalling that I can't even express what I
want
to.
I want to jump in here, Esther. I just want to jump in here because I want to. Mavis, you said that you had you'd brought a German Shepherd into the class. You had used a bungee cord to threaten an autistic boy, a rubber band to threaten him. You also had put a bag over a kid that you said had a lazy eye.
At no time had I ever laid a hand on any of those children, and I got them all to pay attention.
I never hit them.
And the lady here, they were fine. I took the bag off the kid with the twitched out eye. And that boy, and the German Shepherd, which is Sally, is the name of that dog.
And the thing that kills me is you said you got the idea for the German Shepherd at St. Augustine with Martin Luther King.
They had these cops down there had German Shepherds. I wish you would make a big deal out of that.
And how would you like to be threatened by these dogs and the type of behavior that you're exercising? I was
at St. Augustine. And if more of you Jews had learned that at the concentration camp level...
Oh, my God.
I have German Shepherds.
All right,
I have more German Shepherds in Israel.
Well, you could use your air time a lot more wisely
Shores of El Pacifico. Bill Hendry.
Well, I think the real scientific tragedy of the ClimateGate email affair...
It's been in the press over and over again that this president has received far more death threats.
Instead of joining us on the right side of history, all
the help committee bill in the Senate was a total Democrat bill.
Crap. Right on, boys.
Definitely going to wonder who the Canadians are from here on out, that's for sure.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And every night, it's Alice in Wonderland through the looking glass of media. This hour, protesters take to the streets of New York to protest the coming terror trials in the city of New York, as opposed to them being in a military tribunal-type setting. Reminder that we're on our website with live streaming video as well as live streaming audio every night at philhendryshow.com. If you want to watch us do the show as well as listen to the show, you can take it over there.
Yeah, take your ass over there.
Jesus, man.
What?
What do you mean take your ass over? Just take it over there and you'll enjoy it. Also, twitter.com/philhendryshow. It's a staff-operated Twitter site, so Jace and, Bud and Robert and all the guys are over there. And you can also, of course, go to Facebook and, hang with us over at Facebook at facebook.com/Phil Hendry. Now, I have this story here. Protesters slam holding 9/11 trial in New York. Coming up in just a moment here, we're going to have Don Berman from Channel 19 News in Los Angeles. He is an Emmy Award-winning news man. And is going to give us a little bit of, sort of background on this. in terms of the, you know, the story itself, because my understanding is there seems to be some sort of, I don't know, controversy concerning crowds, crowd size, etc. But the story goes along these lines. Several hundred people rallied in the rain near Manhattan's federal courthouse complex to protest the plan to put major terrorism suspects on trial in New York. Some estimates were up to 1,500 people. The Attorney General Eric Holder announced that the U.S. would put Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and four of the detainees at Guantanamo Bay Prison on trial in federal civilian court in New York City. Anger at the Obama administration ran hot in the crowd. One person held up a sign calling Holder disgraceful and despicable. Another sign said, Obama Holder, jihad from within. That's some pretty powerful stuff. 877-876-PHIL. Don Berman joining us from do we have him?
I'm trying to find
Well, when we get him on the line, okay. Anyway, Don Berman is going to join us from the newsroom there at Channel 19 News to give us an idea as to how, as like I said, as to how they are reporting the story over there and what they think about the story in general. We got Don on the line right now. Don, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Phil. Thanks for having us on.
Don, the story, as I said, you heard a little bit of it. Protesters slam holding 9/11 trial in New York City. They're calling Holder and Obama, Obama Holder, you know, jihad from within. Supporters of the 9/11 Never Forget Coalition say the five defendants should face a military tribunal instead. And there was a statement of support for the rally posted on the coalition's website. It was signed by actor Robert Duvall, Brian Dennehy, John Voight, Danny Aiello, Robert Davi, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, and others. How are you guys viewing this in the news business? From what standpoint, how are you writing about this? Is this a grassroots movement that's going to get bigger as the trial commences?
Well, let me tell you where this story really is so that your audience has some perspective. This is not a story at all. Today on Fox Television News, Sean Hannity was caught once again with his hand in the cookie jar, in the proverbial cookie jar, as he showed another piece of videotape that was not from the rally in New York City in front of the courthouse. It was from some other rally, from some other file, some file tape that they found, as Hannity has done before. And he showed a crowd purported to be 2,000 or 3,000 people. And as a reporter and as a newsman, and I anchor three newscasts a day, and I have won Emmys, and I don't say that to say that I think I'm something special, but Sean Hannity is not a newsman. He's a news commentator, and for him to put up fake, phony footage showing supposedly 3,000 people at a rally or 1,500 or whatever he said it was when they weren't there, I think is despicable. And I put a call into Fox News to tell them so, and also to tell them that if that's the kind of man that they have hosting on their network, then they might as well hire me, because at least I have a video on my television program, on our 10, our 11, and our noon report, which is actual and real and factual and is not concocted, dummied up, and put together with spit and gum. Now, this was the message that I left with Roger Ailes at Fox News.
No, hold on for a minute. You say that Sean Hannity had a piece of video today.
Yes, today. He was saying that there were 1,500 or 2,000 people in front of a courthouse in New York protesting the fact that the terror trials would be held in New York. And he did this with a straight face. He did this without cracking a smile, without winking at the camera, without doing anything that you would that would give you the sign, some sort of a sign that, oh, thank God, I know he's just kidding.
And well, what would make you think that Sean Hannity's going to kid about anything? I mean, when he does news and he does information and he does opinion, he does it very seriously. So obviously, you're accusing him of trying to put one over on the audience.
Well, if that's the case, if he wasn't kidding, then yes, that's exactly what I'm accusing him of.
Well, all right, so how do you know that this tape or this film footage or whatever it was...
It was videotape of some other rally. For all I know, it was some book signing by... It could have been a book signing for Sarah Palin, for all I know. I don't know what it was.
All right, how do you... All right, but how do you know?
How do I know what?
How do you know that that was not actual video of 2,000 people in Foley Square in New York, four blocks from where the terror attacks took place?
Because there, how do I know that that isn't true?
Yes.
Phil, let me tell you something. I am an Emmy Award-winning news anchor. And when I tell you that there is no way in the year 2009 that you're going to get 2,000 or 1,500 people into Foley Square in New York for some kind of a protest having to do with something that was 8 years ago, and I'm not belittling 9/11. I'm not belittling for a moment the sacrifices and the terrible tragedy. But there's no way on a rainy day in New York you get 1,500 people.
So your opinion is based upon
1,500 people in the Foley Square in New York on a rainy day. It ain't gonna happen.
Your opinion then is based upon.
It's not my opinion. It ain't. I'm telling you, it didn't happen.
Wait a minute. You're saying, how do you know it didn't happen?
How do I know? Phil, how do you know that rain comes from the sky? Because there it is. It's coming down, right? How do I know that 2,000 people weren't in Foley Square protesting the terror trial? Because it's New York City on a rainy day in the year 2009. That's how I know.
You're telling me there's no way that 2,000 people would come out to protest these terror trials being held in New York. Why?
There's no way it's going to happen. This was 9 years. Do you understand that the country is trying to move past this? The terror trials, we're not trying to move past 9/11. We're not trying to move past understanding that terrible tragedy. But we are moving past it in another sense, that it's impossible. I'm telling you right now, it's impossible.
Don, you're basing this on opinion.
I'm not basing anything on opinion. My understanding was I was told by my assistant that I would be on your program to answer questions pursuant to the terror trials. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Then why am I involved in an argument with you within the first 15 minutes?
I apologize. I apologize for my tone.
Thank you.
I am asking you, what do you base your opinion?
And I'm telling you it's not my opinion. And I'm telling you that there's no way in, and forgive my language, there's no way in hell. There's no way in Satan's own hell that 1,500 people go out to Foley Square or anywhere else for that matter in New York on a rainy day in the year 2009 to start screaming about something that happened 8 years ago, even though, yes, it was 9/11 and that's bad, but it's not bad enough to get a crowd out there the size that this guy Hannity claims there was. I'm telling you, it didn't happen.
All right, so you saw the videotape today.
Yeah, it was clearly dummied up. People don't care about 9/11 the way they used to. Let me explain this. It doesn't inspire us the way it used to. It doesn't inspire us anymore because it happened a long time ago. It happened many years ago. A lot of us are over it. We've moved on.
Well, a lot of us are not over it, Don. That's what I'm saying. If there's got to be at least 2,000 people that feel the way I do. I'm not over it.
There may be 2,000 people that feel the way you do, but they're not all in New York City. If we took all the people that feel the way you do out of New York City to protest the terror trials being held in New York City, maybe you get a couple of hundred people. Maybe on a good day when it isn't raining and it's a nice day for a walk. And let's go down to Foley Square and see what's up. People are not inspired by things that happened. People are not inspired by things that happened last month. You think they still care about 9/11?
Well, what happened last month that I'm supposed to get inspired about?
It doesn't make any difference. I'm telling you that the country is. You know, it's very frustrating for me to have to keep explaining myself over and over again. I told you, I'm an Emmy Award-winning newsman. And
yeah, I had a scientist on last hour, Don.
Dr. Turner, I know him.
Okay. And who kept saying over and over, I'm a scientist, trust me, I'm a scientist, trust me.
I'm not saying I'm a newscaster, trust me.
That's exactly what you're saying.
No, I'm not. I'm saying there's no way in hell I'm telling you right now. All right, forget that I'm a newsman. I'm telling you right now, there's no way in hell you get 2,000 people in the Foley Square in New York to protest the 9/11 that people are trying every day to forget.
Not the way that you think they're trying to forget. Not the way you think they're trying to forget.
What does that mean? Not the way I...
You think that people are trying to forget because they're bored by it. People are trying to forget the horror of that day, and they're trying to put some kind of... give it some meaning in the sense of our own history. Let's take a break here. Don Berman from Channel 19. He's right. I was debating him.
Yeah, he didn't think you were going to come on and debate you.
Well, I'm sorry, but when he says to me that he has information that Sean Hannity dummied up videotape to show that there were 2,000 people in New York City this weekend protesting the terror trials, and that only maybe 200 people showed up, and the only way he has to prove that is to say there's no way in hell people in New York get that excited, or anybody gets that excited about 9/11. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Don Berman from Channel 19 News on the line with us as we talk about the prospective terror trials coming up in New York of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and four other detainees who were going to be tried by a military tribunal at Guantanamo Bay, but instead will be tried in New York City. We'll be back. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous, record-breaking, groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show.
You really frost my ass.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Lame. Oh, yeah, you're lame. Nothing like those cats. They're lame. They're lame. Oh, God, they need a life. They're lame. 9/11 truthers suck. Blow it out your butt. All right, I copyright that idea right now.
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Our number is 877-877-877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhendryshow.com with video and audio right now. Don Berman joins us from Channel 19 News as we discuss the protests this weekend in New York against the terror trials that are going to be held in New York of the detainees at Guantanamo, the primary figures in the planning of the 9/11 terror attacks, and most notably Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. You're claiming that you saw a Sean Hannity piece on Fox purporting to show 2,000 people, and you are saying that Hannity faked the footage.
Well, Sean Hannity is well known for doing that. I don't know if you remember, a couple of weeks ago they proved that he had shown some fake footage of some other supposed rally that was going on. When I looked at this and I saw 1,500 people somewhere, and then along comes this guy, Mr. Hannity, to say that this was of the protests in Foley Square in New York, I immediately knew that this young man was once again lying. And Sean, remember that Sean Hannity can get away with the lie because he has the boyish good looks. He doesn't have a seasoned newsman look, but he does have the boyish good looks that every mother wants to, wants to pinch his cheek and sit him down to a glass of milk and a bologna sandwich. And that's all well and good, but I don't think that passes for journalism.
But, Don, you've made the charge that it was phony, and yet you have said...
Let me put it to you this way. 9/11, it was horrible. There's no question about it. When I think of that day, I am horrified. But it frightens us, and I don't think it inspires us the way Sean Hannity wants us to believe that it does, to the point where...
It doesn't inspire us.
It does inspire us to not want to have terrorism. But it's not going to get... I'm telling you right now, there's no way on God's earth, on the earth that God created, or so they say... But 2,000 people, when you say that, oh, yeah, there's going to be a terror trial about 9/11, oh, well, I'm going to run right down there. No way. And that's based upon many decades of seasoned news work. and also based upon the fact that I have been watching this man, Hannity, and the games that he's playing, and looking at where I am, and, you know, one and one doesn't make three. And that's what's happening here.
Looking at, what do you mean by you?
The fact that he is there and I'm where I am, that's like 1 + 1 = 3. That doesn't make sense.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Don Berman from Channel 19 News. Here's Joey in Charleston. Joey, go ahead.
You understand what I'm saying?
I guess. You're saying that Sean Hannity... Anyway, Joey, go ahead.
I'm saying that Sean Hannity is where he is, and I should be where I am.
Yeah, go ahead, Joey.
I don't understand why we're spending all the money and everything to keep these people that are terrorists against our country. You know, I mean, they...
Did you go down and protest it, though? I know that you don't like the fact that... But are you going to get out of bed and go to New York and protest it? No, you're not.
No, I can't.
Well, this man's in... Way. He's in South Carolina.
Well, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
You don't care that much. You don't. If you lived in New York, you don't care that much, do you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. If I lived in New York, I would be there protesting. I don't understand
All right,
why...
and that... I don't get that. I think that you and Mr. Henry, you know.
I don't understand why we want to, you know, spend all the taxpayers' dollars and all the time we spend on the radio and whatnot for, you know, trying to justify what these people have done. There is no excuse for what they've done to our country. What
well,
do they
know,
do?
But
to
I
us?
Mean, do you care that much?
What does that mean, do you care that much?
Well, this guy is saying that he doesn't like that. But you're not all that much. That was 9 years ago, and of course 9/11 was terrible. But
right.
Are you telling me that you care that much that this trial's being held in New York? I don't understand what this guy's saying.
He doesn't like the fact that it's being held in New York.
But he doesn't really care.
Yeah,
do
I
you?
Care. I don't understand why anybody cares about it. That, I mean, there should not be such a big deal about it. There shouldn't. They should just be dealt
Joey,
with. They.
You sound. You. If, in other words, your tone of voice is the following. If I said to you, "There's a rattlesnake crawling up your leg," you're saying, "Oh wow, that's really terrible." That's how you sound. You don't sound that scared. And that's why I'm saying to Mr. Henry, while we're all horrified by what happened on September 11, 2001, we also we've got other fish to fry. And what do you think about Sean Hannity dummying up videotape?
You don't know that he did that.
There's no way I don't know that he did that. I don't know that he did that.
No, you don't know that he did that.
I don't know that the sun rises in the east. Yes, I do.
That's not the same thing to say that Hannity faked videotape. You're saying that he faked the videotape, you know.
Oh, no.
Right,
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Bin Laden. Okay? I'm saying he should be found and dealt with.
Bin Laden, he's not even on trial yet. We haven't even found him. I think this gentleman...
All right, we'll be back. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
Phil is our number here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show with Don Berman from Channel 19 News as we talk about protests in New York City surrounding the possibility, well, the reality that there will be trials in New York City of these terror suspects, one of whom is Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the primary tactician, if you will, planner of this. 9/11, this horror that we all lived through. And Don, you're saying there's no way there were 2,000 people in Foley Square over and over and over again.
You wanted me to prove it to you, and I didn't think that I'd have to. I thought that perhaps just taking my word for the fact that I've been a seasoned newsman, Phil, I understand. But I, you know, listeners, they know what I'm talking about. Yes, 9/11 is terribly important to us, but. People don't care as much. They're just not that upset anymore. And for Hannity to claim 2,000 people went out there to protest this, I am saying he's a liar, and he had some intern go into a file and pull out a tape, as he had done once before, and showed dummied-up videotape. But let me give you the proof. You're trying to tell me that on a weekend where Avatar is playing citywide in New York, 2,000 people are going to go down to Foley Square and scream and yell about some, you know, these camel dung shovelers, I'm sorry to say it that way, that they're going on trial.
Boy, that's not very objective of you as a newsman, Don.
You know what? Maybe it's that we want to go see Avatar so we can get some visceral satisfaction out of pretending that we're kicking some camel dung shovelers' ass, if you'll pardon my language.
So you're telling me that most people wanted to go see Avatar than go protest this?
Because you can sit in a theater and pretend. Do you understand that this is James Cameron and that...
Who is what?
Who is what? James, you know who he is. James Cameron's a director.
He's directing Avatar.
Yes. Yes. Titanic, ring a bell.
So what, man? I'd blow that off in 5 seconds to go down and protest with some people about that terror trial thing.
Oh, so now we know your agenda. Now we know your agenda.
Don, it's not an agenda. I'm asking you why you don't believe 2,000 people will go down there.
Well, now we know why you think the way you think. Thank you. Thank you. I thought that you were being argumentative for argumentative sake, but now we know that you have a clear agenda, as Mr. Hannity does. And that's fine, but I would like you people to be a little bit more upfront about it.
I'm not dummying up videotape, and I'll tell you something else. I doubt seriously whether Sean Hannity did as well. Let's go to a phone call. We have Randy in Ocala, Florida. Randy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Good evening. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you?
Mr. Hannity.
I'm fine, thank you.
When did it become Mr. Hannity?
Go ahead, Randy, with your...
I like Mr. Hannity, and I do believe people still care. I still care, incredibly so. People are even more upset that they would even bring these terrorists back to New York where it all happened. I think people care even more that they've done that. And I'm surprised there would be more than 2,000 people out there.
I'd like to believe you. I really would. But let me ask you this. And your name is Randy, correct?
Yes.
Yes, Randy. You have an opportunity. You can go down and protest with a couple of hundred people.
You don't know. There was 200 people. They claim there were 2,000 people.
With dummied-up videotape.
You don't know that was dummied-up videotape.
I'm asking the young lady a question. Would you go see Avatar, the new James Cameron-directed film?
No. I would be down there in New York protesting.
Well, you're in Ocala, Florida, so it would be up there.
Yes,
you know what,
yes.
Don? You can fool around with this all you want, but she answered your question.
All right, that's fine. But she can say whatever she wants to ingratiate herself with the hosts of the show here.
Well, I don't think that Randy is trying to ingratiate herself with the host of the show. I think she's speaking her opinion, and that is that she would go to New York.
Uh-huh.
I absolutely
would. Anyway, Randy...
Have you ever lied before in your life?
That...
Only once.
Why are you laughing? I'm asking, have you ever lied before in your life?
I'm not lying to you. I've never called in a radio show in my life. I heard this and I couldn't believe that. You wouldn't think that people
but
still
you
care.
Know that, you know that what I'm saying is true, that most people don't care.
You do? How do you say that most
people
don't care?
No, if they do care, then how come most people want us to pull out of Afghanistan? Thank you. All right. Score it. Score that one. That was easy.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're talking about something completely different.
From the baseline.
People were talking about a supposedly dummied up videotape where you're saying people don't care, and people do care.
Right.
People do care.
And people were out there in New York with the so-called dummied up videotape. Let's go over to Jack in Indianapolis. Jack, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Berman.
No, but she didn't respond to the question, but the statement that I made, which was most people want us to pull out of Afghanistan.
That's a tragedy. Go ahead. You're on the air, Jack.
I have a sign in the back window of my truck, a big sign, "We will never forget." It has a picture, I have a big picture, of the flag and the tires and the smoke coming from the tires. And I don't care if Sean Hannity stands on his head and spits nickels. If he can get people to remember, that's what's wrong with America. They forget too easy. They forget too easy. And I will never forget. I'll go to my grave remembering the tars America needs to wake up because there's been too much forgetfulness on our part.
Sir, I'm sorry, your phone dropped out, and I swear, it sounded like you said, I will never fart. And I know you didn't
say
that.
I said I'll never forget. I will never forget.
Forget.
Never forget.
Yes.
All right, and your phone dropped out.
And if I could hold it. If I could go there, and I had a way to go there, and could afford to go there, if there was 200 people, I went to rallies for a lot less, and this was something that I don't know how America could ever forget, man. 3,000 people died.
Right, exactly. And those are the people in New York, okay?
Well, I don't care where they're from. They're Americans.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that makes me, that I have to question this. This gentleman says he'd go, but, in other words, yes, he feels strongly, as we all do. But if he really cared, he would have gone to New York, but he didn't. He sat there in Indianapolis and did nothing.
He lives in Indianapolis, man.
I didn't know about it, sir.
All right,
If I'd known they were going to go, I'd have went. Sometimes you just can't go. You got obligations in this life. You can't just jump and run.
Well, we all have excuses, don't we?
That don't mean that I wouldn't go, and there's a lot of people that would go, but I still support those that did go. They're Americans. They're wonderful. They're great. I don't care who they are. I love them. I don't love you because you're making accusations against Sean Hannity. He needs to be there to support himself.
I'm saying here basically that what Don's got no proof.
Are you denying that Sean Hannity brought in some fake videotape once?
Sean acknowledged the fact that they got some file tape on there that was wrong, yes. But the fact is that's not proof that he dummied up tape about this thing in Foley Square.
Well, this gentleman sounds like a lot of Americans. He cares, but he had something else he had to do. I don't know what that was, and I'm sure
I didn't know that it was going on. I don't know everything going on. I'm not God Almighty. I don't know everything.
You remember when we were kids? The dog ate my homework. This is what I'm hearing. I'm hearing the dog ate my homework.
This is a man who lives in Indianapolis, Indiana.
I'm hearing that America's been divided, and that's what they want, divide and conquer. They want Americans fighting against each other and calling each other liars and all kinds
of
junk. That's what they're up to, man. There's an agenda behind it. I don't care if Sean Hannity rolled on the floor and spit gobs of
nickels.
If he can make people believe or still remember what happened to those people, you just can't forget them people. What about the ones that's still suffering, man? The families, their loved ones is gone forever.
I think it's terrible that they're suffering. Stop accusing people then. But I'm not. I'm simply saying on a rainy Saturday in New York, are you going to go down to Foley Square or go see Avatar, which is in sneak preview?
I don't care if it was snowing a blizzard. I would go. I've stood out in the rain before and protested for other things that I knew was going on. I just didn't know this was going on. Yeah, I'd go. 100 times over, I'd go, whether you believe it or not, pal. Bye-bye.
Why weren't you on websites and checking out to see if this was going? See, if he really cared, he would have...
If he really cared what?
He would have been on websites checking out if this thing was going on or not, but he didn't care. And he hangs up on me. You want to know why, Phil? Because as a journalist, I get to it. And what I was getting closer to the truth with him. If he really cared, he would have gotten to New York City.
He's in the middle of the country in Indianapolis, Indiana. You understand? You're telling me there's no way you could get 2,000 people to turn out for something in New York City. That's the biggest city in the country, all right? 8 million people living on that island, and people don't care enough.
Well, if he cared, he says he cared. If he cared, you can get yourself a round-trip ticket to New York, but he didn't. You know why he didn't? Because there was something else. And excuse me for saying this, it probably had something to do with wrestling, and that's all I'm going to say.
That's his, okay, so in other words, he lives in Indianapolis, so he's into wrestling.
Well, no, not necessarily, but he kept saying that something about how they were tires. I don't know what he meant by tires.
Terror. 877-876-PHIL with Don Berman here on the Phil Hendry Show. Here is Bob in Illinois. Bob, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Berman. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, that liberal you got in there for a reporter, I tell you what, he needs to wake up. By God, he doesn't understand. There's American people out here still pissed off about that deal. And like I said to that guy before, we are to line their asses up against the wall and shoot them on public TV to tell the people what we are to do with terrorists. Yeah, I'm pissed.
Wait,
all of a sudden, there's been at least 2,000 people.
Did you go to New York?
They probably got families over in New York City and wanting to make a statement.
Right. That's a point. There is a people here who lost people.
Did this gentleman, can I ask a gentleman a question?
Go ahead.
Sir, did you check flights from Bloomington to New York so you could be a part of the protest?
I didn't make that appointment because I'm out here driving for a living. I have to support my family. But by God, if it had been close enough.
There we go.
Well, I didn't
there
have
we
to
go.
Get off 2 days to get there and back home. I would have been there to protest. I guarantee you, I have protested before, and I will protest again. And I have
spent
my time in the military. And that's another
what
thing
did you...
that pisses me off. I guarantee you, you get enough people that's been in the Vietnam War, and you get them in the Korea War, and you get the people that's actually stood up for America. By God, we're sick and tired of people.
Okay,
you've got to
drop the S-bomb. What did
I'm
you
sorry.
Protest, sir? You said you went to a protest. What did you protest?
Oh, I protested against the people that are sitting over here in front of the college. Over in the college, they're standing up saying...
It was close by.
Whoa, listen. These liberals and people were standing up saying there ain't no God that we came from. I got over there and I protested. You know why? Because when I went to battle for the liberals in America, I stood up for God and country. I stood up for what my grandfathers come to America for. And I tell you what,
that's all very neat.
To stand for something, I'm going to stand. But when you liberals get in there, you'll fall for anything.
No, sir, I'm telling you that if given the opportunity, if I gave you passes to Avatar, you would have gone and seen that instead of gone up.
I don't even know what that is, to be honest with you.
It's a movie.
I don't know what it is. You know why? Because I've got my goal set higher than going out here to a theater to watch some movie or whatever this is you're talking about. I got a family to support. I ain't got time to sit there and screw around watching movies and going out to do all this piddly stuff.
It's a movie by James.
To keep America going and keep supporting the lazy bums that are out there doing nothing.
Good point. Good, very good point, Kevin.
Oh, good point. It's a movie by James Cameron, the man that made Titanic. And you wouldn't go see that.
Who are you talking about? James who?
Oh, give me a break. You never heard of the movie Titanic.
He doesn't know what it is. And you know what? Not everybody's life revolves around James Cameron, Don, and all this crap that you're talking about.
Crap.
Yeah, it's crap. Compared to people remembering 9/11, yes, crap.
Yes,
well, I will tell both of you gentlemen, I think, missed the point. Kevin is there in Columbus, Bob in Kevington, or?
I'm sorry, I misspoke. It's Bob in Bloomington.
Bob in Bloomington. Now, all very well and good to talk a big streak, but you didn't get up off your butt and get a bus ticket to New York.
He told you that the man, he's working for a living. Working.
We all just can't skip across country and take 2 and 3 days off work to go make a protest. But that doesn't mean we can't back those who went. And it doesn't mean that those that might have went, that we didn't help support. All right?
Say that again.
We don't know what didn't do. But I think this, when time comes to fight, there's a lot of us Americans out here that's ready to go back to war if we have to be called to war. You know why? Because we know what it takes to keep America free. And as long as these terrorists are sitting over there spending our tax dollars to get a trial they shouldn't have never even got to, being fed in prison where they shouldn't even use this waterboarding crap. I tell you what, that ain't a joke. You don't have a clue as to some of the things that goes on to extract the information. How about drills in the kneecaps? How about cutting off fingers and pulling out fingernails? You want to find out what real waterboarding is? By God, we can show you what real waterboarding is. We can show you what...
All right, well, okay, well, thank you very much, President Bush. Phil, how did you get George Bush to call the show? It's nice to talk to you, Mr. President.
Why don't you just stop with your jokes, okay?
It sounded like George Bush to me.
Sounded like George Bush to you,
man,
huh?
I'm talking reality here. Don't you have any clue what the real world is like? Are you that blind that you got blinders on that you don't want to see? You guys are taking over people who shouldn't be alive.
You have the blinders on that you don't even know who James Cameron is. He made a film called
He Didn't Want to World. I can't believe you're a reporter and you get a one-sided story like that.
This blows my mind.
You
need to wake up. I'm awake to the fact that...
You've been misleading America down the tubes for a long time.
The Bloomington, Indiana sneak preview of Avatar and you don't want to go...
9/11 is what we're talking about.
I have no clue what that movie is.
All right, well, thank you very much, Mr. President.
Anyway, I appreciate your call, Bob. Thanks a lot, sir. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
What's with the whole Mr. President thing?
If that wasn't George Bush, you can kiss my you-know-what out on Main Street at high noon.
That was not George Bush.
The hell it wasn't. And here's the thing that I want to know. How do you get him and I can't get Bush?
It was a caller, man.
That was a caller. Yeah, it was a caller named George Bush.
There was a caller named Bob and... Hold on. 877-876-PHIL.
Oh, because you don't want to get to me anymore, huh?
Phil Henry.
If that wasn't George Bush...
Now, why am I looking at Channel 4 right now putting perfectly good bud into a frying pan?
Oh, my God. They're taking the best buds and they're going to cook it up.
Is this some kind of stupid how to cook marijuana show? Get out of here, man. First of all, make it legal, then show us how to cook it.
Phil Hendry.
Final couple of minutes here with Don Berman from Channel 19 News as we continue to talk about the prospective terror trial in New York and the outrage expressed by people in New York over the weekend. Don thinks it's manufactured. He says there's no way 2,000 or even 1,500 people showed up in New York to protest these terror trials. Here is Kevin in Columbus, Ohio. Kevin, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just want to say this.
Yes, sir.
I think he's totally off base with what he's saying. I listen to a lot of talk radio and a lot of news, and I know the fact that they're doing these trials in New York is probably one of the top controversies out there right now. And I think, you know, the fact that it's in New York City where these things happen, it's absolutely insane to think that 2,000 people or more would not show up. And beyond that, I have to agree with what you said earlier, Mr. Henry, is that this guy's not backing up his opinion with any kind of factual evidence. I mean, if he had some video footage of some other rally that, you know, you could play side by side with this and you could say, look, these are the same people doing the same things and it's a carbon copy, then, okay, that's factual evidence. That's proof that Hannity has, you know, whatever, you know, lied about this. But, you know, to just say, oh, there, you know, that can't happen because there's just no way that can happen, I mean, that's absolutely insanity. I mean, that's the example of the poor kind of...
Let me say this to the caller. Let me say this to you, sir. First of all, it's radio. How can I show it? It's radio. How can I show it?
Well, that's not the point. You made the claim that it was dummied up.
Yeah, but how do I... This gentleman wants visual. How do I prove that? I don't have... It's not a TV stuff. And the other... The bigger issue... You sound like a young man. You know what I'm talking about when I'm saying Avatar, right? Okay.
Well, he doesn't give a crap either.
He doesn't know? Where is he?
Columbus, Ohio.
Well, that's bigger than Bloomington, wherever that other guy.
What difference does it make, man? You're talking about a movie.
I'm talking about a week. The man that directed Terminator and the other one, Titanic. Here's a movie that is going to... And by the way, I've got a call in to Mr. Cameron, if you can take my phone call.
Phil Hendry.